Good morning. Just a reminder, at the end of the sermon today, I've allotted some time for you to share what the Lord has revealed to you during the study through Acts. We've had 48, this is our 48th sermon. And I know who has slept through them. I know. I know some of you wear sunglasses like Richard. But God knows. But even if you slept through them, God still reveals something to you. So we're at the end of the sermon, we'll allot time. Pastor Sam will be the floating mic, and he will come to you. You just raise your hand and share briefly anything the Lord has revealed to you. So everybody remember the Wizard of Oz, and when Dorothy was stuck in Oz and wanted to go home, what did the witch, the good witch, tell her to do? Click her heels three times and say what? There's no place like home. Well, we as Christians are stuck in Rome wanting to go to heaven, which is our home sweet home. And that's what Paul longed for, and that's what we long for. We're all in Rome, the kingdom of this world. Rome is the example, Babylon in the Old Testament. We are imprisoned by sin and the prince of this world, who is Satan. And our task is to be not of this world, but sometimes we are of this world, which is not good. We're not of this world, so we testify about the kingdom of God and living under God's reign and authority, which we as Christians do. We live under his jurisdiction, not Rome's. This is not easy, because the darkness hates the light. And nevertheless, like Paul, we're supposed to teach those who God brings into our life about Jesus and try to persuade them to believe. So we're at the end of Acts. After 3 months, Paul and his traveling companions, they left that island called, anybody remember? Malta. And they left with all that they needed. Remember, the local people there were very generous and hospitable. They gave them all they needed. And they set sail on an Alexandrian ship, which is an Egyptian ship, headed for Rome. And that's why the sermon is entitled Rome at Last. Because it was God's will for Paul to go to Rome. And when they arrived, some brothers in Christ traveled, get this, 35 miles. They must have heard. I don't know how they heard. Hey, they didn't have cell phones. You know, I don't know. They didn't turn on the news. But they knew, maybe the Lord told them, hey, my servant is coming to Rome. They traveled 35 miles to greet Paul. This is all in Acts 25. He was encouraged by them and thanked God for them. Now, what some of us might not know is that Paul had written, because how did they know Christ? Well, one of the reasons they knew Christ is Paul had written a letter to the Romans. Anyone familiar with that letter? It comes right after Acts. He wrote a letter to the Romans 3 years before this, while in Corinth. So it's so awesome to see the fruit of this letter that he wrote 3 years earlier, not knowing when he was going to arrive, even if he's going to arrive. He arrives. They've obviously read the letter. They've heard of Paul. And these Romans have become converts. So here's what I want to encourage you today. You never know how God will use your letters, your words, your songs. Whatever you do, don't be silent, because they need to hear what you have to say. Paul was allowed to live by himself in Rome with the soldier who guarded him. That's in Acts 28:16. So have your Bibles turned to Acts 28. I'm going to start reading in verse 17. So he's in Rome. He's allowed to live by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And some say, I don't know for sure, but some say that it was procedure where the prisoner would be chained to the soldier. So after 3 days in Rome, verse 17, he called together the leaders of the Jews. Interesting there, because remember when Paul would go to a new city, what was the first thing he did? He went to the synagogue. He couldn't go to the synagogue. See, we called them to come to him. When they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, so they must be believers, although, no, maybe not, because he might be just referring to Israelites, but and we know some. We know they turned to Christ, many of them. Although I've done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. How does that sound familiar? I mean, Jesus said the same thing happened to him. After they examined me, they wanted to release me since there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected and they wanted to rig the trial, remember, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar because Paul's a Roman citizen, even though I had no charge to bring against my people. So Paul was basically saying, I'm innocent. I'm falsely accused by my fellow Jews. For this reason, I've asked to see you and to speak to you. In fact, and this is important, it is for the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. If you read Romans, Paul spends 3 chapters talking about his disappointment and the Jews not coming to faith in the Messiah. But he says, God is not done with them. God is not done with them. God is not done with anybody. There's always hope. The hope of Israel. He's saying, I pray and I get on my knees and I cry for my fellow brothers in Christ, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, my fellow Jews, that they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, their hope. And said, he said, that's why I'm wearing this chain. Then they said to him, verse 21, we haven't received any letters about you from Judea, and none of the brothers has come and reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we want to hear what your views are, Paul, because we know, and this is so awesome, people everywhere are speaking, not this part is not awesome, but everybody knew about this new religion, or as they call it, a sect. They thought it was a cult. Now, here's what's happening. So Paul's Roman imprisonment began around the year 60 AD. He wrote the letter to the Romans in 57 AD. But what I want you to understand, if it's 60 AD, it had been almost 30 years since Jesus had resurrected, ascended, and the Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost and the church was born. And yet still, 30 years later, they were still calling this Christianity a sect of Judaism. Now, partially that's true, because we are the branch of the olive tree, which is Israel. And we never should forget, as Paul says in Romans 11, that we are grafted in. Jesus came, he said, I came first to Israel. They rejected me. And now the door is open for everybody. But it was first Israel. God called Israel. And one day he will an outpouring of his spirit. I believe it'll happen as documented in Revelation chapter 7. When 144,000 Jews from 12,000 from each tribe get saved. I believe the church is raptured at that point because, you know, logically speaking, if the church is here, he would use the church. But what he's going to do when before he comes back to reign, there are going to be 144,000 of the remnant, the people who will believe, they will be his witnesses. So there's still hope for everybody. And that's why Jesus said salvation comes from the Jews, okay? So with that prerequisite. We'll go to the outline. And since we all live in Rome, so to speak, when in Rome, we should do what Paul did. First, number one, when in Rome, testify about the kingdom of God. We got to testify about the kingdom of God. So, did Paul's chains chain him from preaching? No. It actually released him. More people would come to him like, who's this guy chained? He's like preaching the gospel. Many came to Paul's room and where he stay, and they'd hear from this guy, Paul, that was used, as if you agree with me, in tremendous ways by God, right, Paul? And as I said, here's the thing. The greatest credential that we as believers have is our testimony of what God has done in our life. That's the greatest credential. We don't need degrees that show how smart we are. We need a testimony that shows how great God is. So here he is in his chains, and he's preaching, he's testifying about the kingdom. Our testimony should be centered on Jesus Christ and his kingdom, which is as indicated in the very last verse of Acts, which is this: Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The chains did not stop Paul. Nothing thwarts the plans and purposes of God. And then in verse 23 of this chapter, from dawn to dusk, all day long, he expounded and testified about what? The kingdom of God. So if you were imprisoned and chained, and like Paul, would you, from dawn to dusk, be testifying about the kingdom of God? Probably not. I don't think I'd be. I might be having a pity party. But if you don't want to have a pity party, you take your eyes off of your circumstances and you start telling people about Jesus. You start serving them. That's what God did. He testified about the kingdom of God all day long. So since we are in a Roman prison, so to speak, aren't there people in your life that you come in contact with every single day that need to hear about the kingdom of God? They need to hear about Jesus? I love what, and I'm going to shout out to Chris Rice, because this morning you said you saw people walking, and were you in your car? Yeah. And you pulled next to him and you said, oh, since you're walking, why don't you walk with me to church? Praise God. See, that's perspective. And I think what happens, and it's not nobody's fault, it's just a natural thing. We're in here, they're out there. But if we're out there, we shouldn't just be in here. We should be out there thinking about them. So we need to be telling people, this is what Jesus did for me. Let me ask you a question. Are you constantly aware of the people around you? Not me. I'm in line. I want to get my thing, you know, I just want to get out. Do you have your spiritual antennas up? Do you know how to find out if people are discipleable, meaning they're open to the gospel? Do you know how to do that? How's the best way to do that? Have a conversation with them, like Chris did. And what did they say to you?
Well, they just said thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Because they wanted you to go away. Which, your job's not to convert them or even bring them to church. Your job is just to tell them. You know? So here's what I'm excited about, and many of you have signed up. We had one on August 9th. This Saturday, I'm having another taste and see to share the vision about this new ministry called The Branch. The gate is going to branch out, and it's not evangelism training. I'm not going to train you how to close the deal. We're going to learn how to have spiritual conversations, and we're going to talk to people, and we're going to come during these sessions, during this semester starting in September, that we'll come to those meetings and gatherings and we'll say, hey, I had this spiritual conversation, and we'll talk through it and get better and better and better. And then before you know it, You're a spiritual conversation expert. And many people are coming to Christ and they're being discipled, which is the key. Now, this taste and see is purely for vision. You're not committing to anything. You're just committing to show up to hear the vision. All right? So if you're interested, make sure today you got to sign up at the connection table. There's a clipboard there. Now, when you testify about the kingdom of God, you testify about two things. There is a kingdom that is not of this world, and there is a king who rules over that kingdom. And when you testify about the kingdom of God, you're testifying this, that I, state your name, have relinquished my life over to that king, Jesus Christ. And to nobody's surprise, it shouldn't surprise you, that people relinquish their lives to all kinds of things. It's not like, oh, I'm going to relinquish my life to Jesus. No, thank you. But I'll relinquish my life to how many likes I get on social media. I'll relinquish my life to relationships and fame. I'll relinquish my life to status. I'll relinquish my life to money, you know, whatever it is. And those things are their gods, small g. God's kingdom has rules. Okay? What's the most important and foremost rule to enter the kingdom of God? What do you have to do to enter the kingdom of God? Believe in Jesus. Right? There is no other way. No one is standing in heaven right now saying, look what I did. They're always pointing to Jesus saying, look what he did. Now, when you find a disciplable person who is open to the gospel, you help them learn to how to come to faith. But this is important. You can't force them. Okay? Thank God Chris didn't run over him with her car, you know, saying, that's what you get for not coming to church. You can only point them to Jesus. Because here's the thing, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can open their eyes. Paul was confined, yet he commanded himself to speak to anyone who showed up. And that's not an option. How do we know it's not an option? Because Jesus said this. Therefore, go and make what? Disciples. Do you know how to do that? That's what we're going to learn in the branch. And here's the key. Disciples don't just know stuff. Disciples are reproducing others as disciples. Okay, that's the real key to being a disciple maker. Of what? All nations, where you live, work, and play. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But here specifically, Jesus says, when you're doing that, when you're making disciples, I'll always be with you. You will have my power. Because that's what God wants us to do. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, it's your job to reproduce other disciples of Jesus. So that the kingdom of God, get this, multiplies and grows. That's how the kingdom grows, all right? So secondly, first, when in Rome, testify about the kingdom of God. Secondly, when in Rome, teach them about Jesus. Okay, so here in verse 30 through 31, Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house. Now, we don't know how he got the money, but I assume people were paying for him to stay there, you know? And he welcomed all who, which, by the way, is a cool thing that they let him have his own place, the Romans, you know? That's a God thing. Welcomed all who visited him. He kind of was house arrest, was it was. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Okay? So nothing was stopping God from using Paul, even though he was under house arrest. Now, raise your hand if you were went to school in the United States of America. Okay. So you and me, we both were taught the Greek style of learning, which involves lectures and retaining information, right? That's the Greek style. But there's a whole other style, the Eastern Hebraic style, which involves teaching not just as lecturing, but teaching as conversational and demonstrational. That's what Jesus did oftentimes. Because it wasn't about retaining information, it was about being transformed. It was transformation, right? So, for instance, and here's the thing about Jesus. Sometimes, I'm sure it drove people nuts. They'd ask him a question, and he'd answer with another question. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. So here's a perfect example. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone." Now, why did Jesus not answer the guy's question? He did answer. His answer implies this, that only God is good. And since you said that, you must be implying that I am God. And if I am God, then I'm more than just a good teacher. And your eternal life hangs in the balance of believing me or rejecting me as your God. That is transformational learning. And there are many more examples of this. See, Jesus, he gathered his 12. What did he do? Did he just lecture them? No. He showed them. He explained, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to go to different towns. Don't take anything with you. Find a person of peace, which is a person who welcomes the gospel. Stay there for a while. You know what happened? The 12 came back as 72. That's reproduction. And that's different than addition. A lot of churches say, we got 3 more people this Sunday. Praise God. But multiplication is we got 30 more disciples because everybody multiplied, right? So teaching is more than lecturing and learning. It's more than retaining. In fact, if you're only retaining and not transforming, then you're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, read it with me. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you." Because see, transformation only can happen by the power of God. Jesus said, "You'll know my disciples by their fruit." Okay? Paul said this, "Imitate me as I imitate Jesus." Would you say that? But that's your job. You're supposed to... Listen, I put it this way. You may be the only Bible people ever read. Okay, so that's the second thing. When in Rome, testify about the kingdom of God. Teach them about Jesus. And number 3, try to persuade them to believe. And I say try because that's the word in the scripture. Because unfortunately, not everyone's going to believe. In fact, Jesus said that only those the Father draws will believe in him. So no matter how great a preacher you are... how gifted an evangelist you are, unless the Father draws them to Jesus by his Holy Spirit, they cannot believe. They cannot believe because they're spiritually dead. And dead people cannot make themselves come to life. Only God can do that. And unfortunately, the modern church, last 50 years or so, has used all kinds of gimmicks and programs to coerce people, walk down aisles, fill out cards, pray a sinner's prayer. But you know, none of those things appear in the Bible. In fact, the way that people professed their faith was they would be water baptized. That's how people professed their faith. And then they would know they were saved because they were changing. You know, I've used this example before. How do I know if I've received the Holy Spirit? Well, when you believe, the Bible promises that you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the fact that you're here this morning... before you were a believer and born again, would you ever find yourself at church at 9 in the morning? I mean, some people got here at 7 in the morning. Chris was driving her car next to people telling them to come to church. I mean, things like that are fruit that we see when someone is changed and transformed. But look at this, verse 23. Paul tried to persuade them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, but... this is what happens, and Pastor Eric read about it. Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is awesome. If you haven't read it, it's when Isaiah receives his calling and he has a vision of himself in heaven and he's standing, he goes, man, I am doomed. And then this angel comes and touches his mouth with a hot coal. And he was like cleansed and he received the word of the Lord. And then this happens and God says, who shall I send? And what does Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Now, were you ever the person in class that rose your hand before you knew what the question was? Okay. Or when you're on that game show where you got to hit the buzzer before they finish the thing? Family Feud? Yeah, whatever it is. But here, so I love Isaiah. He's like so excited. He's like, use me, Lord. And then God goes, okay, Isaiah, this is your assignment, paraphrased. Go on my behalf, Isaiah, to try to speak some sense into my people. But Isaiah, I'm sorry, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you because they can't. They don't understand. They don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. And unless I give them new ears and new eyes and new heart, Isaiah, they're not going to believe you. Thanks. Do you know how you know who has eyes to see and ears to hear? They're the ones who believe in Jesus because, and his teaching. Because without having their eyes open and having a new heart and new eyes and new ears, that won't happen. See? Now, in verse 24, it says, some were persuaded by what he said, but others did not believe. And that's the sad story. And again, I want to go back. A lot of us are trained in evangelism training. We have to close the deal. If we don't get them to pray a sinner's prayer, we are failures. I used to think that. Thank God, God delivered me from those lies. Because my job is, I can't convert people. Can anyone change someone's heart? Only God can do that. Only thing you can do is share your testimony. Ask questions where they are. Get to know them, but you know what the real key of is having relationships with them. Because a relationship is not just about information, it's about here. It's about caring enough. And don't forget that the book of Acts is about the working or the acts of the Holy Spirit through his people. Okay, a lot of people get confused. Oh yeah, Peter did that, Paul did this, and they did great things, but if it wasn't the power of the God, power of the Lord, then it's not going to happen. Now, here's what I want to end. I want to open up a time of reflection in a minute. But I want you to understand this. How many chapters does Acts have?
28.
We're in the last chapter. It's not a trick question. 28. Okay, but is the book over?
No.
Why? Because we're still here. We're in Acts chapter 29, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe 30, 31, who knows? But to be honest, these chapters are boring. And it's not because God is boring. It's because God's people aren't trusting him the way they should. It's the same God. Now, I'm just generally speaking. I'm not saying everybody. But generally speaking, the church in America is not seeing what happened at Pentecost and those kind of things. Imagine if someone walked in today and said, I just prayed for somebody that was dead and they came to life. Can that not happen? It can happen, right? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's not God, it's us. Do you believe that God can do those things? I do. So I want to open up this time. I want you to share a little bit about what God has taught you. Don't be long-winded, please. Just brief. I'll start. Here's what God convicted me totally of as I was thinking through this. I need to notice people around me more. Like Philip noticed the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter noticed the beggar, Paul noticed Lydia and many other people. I don't notice them, unfortunately. I'm sad about that. That's what God told me. So what has God told you? Pastor Sam has a microphone.
microphone?
I'll start because I noticed, you know, Paul wrote all these books in the Bible, and he talks so much about joy and all that stuff. And then as you've been preaching all this stuff, every time he's in a mess. I mean, he's tortured. He's gone through so many things. And then he's writing all these letters, just talks about joy. And I say, we have to learn to do that. And I'm convicted. So next Sunday, I'm preaching joy in the pain. So come. Who's next?
Shauna had her hand up.
I learned that God's sovereign over your rear end.
Hallelujah.
Go back and look at
the video. I think there's no mistake that you were preaching on this when I was going to be diagnosed with cancer. And I know that God is sovereign.
Yes.
And I learned that through this study even more. And my faith in him has grown so much through my cancer treatment and through this study. Paul knew that he was going to Rome. He wasn't afraid he was going to die on that ship. Correct, because he knew God said, you're going to Rome. Mm-hmm. He trusted him. I trust God.
Amen. Amen.
Who's next?
Way back. Go fast, lightning. Speed. Whoa, be careful. Don't fall.
Hey, I always land on my feet. I land on my head, so. So after I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, by the way, I'm a miracle. More than a year surviving pancreatic cancer. Thank you, Jesus. I was lamenting in my room, saying, how come you took me out of the game? Now I can't do any ministry at church. I can't do this. I can't do this. Boo-hoo, poo. Poor me. And God said, I've given you a new ministry. Go tell your neighbors about me. Well, we all live in California. The garage door goes up or down. People drive in the garage, and you never see them again. So I started walking around my neighborhood. And when they're out there doing stuff like that, I would say, hey, I have pancreatic cancer. You know, I'm a miracle because I'm still alive, and it's been like 6 months, 7 months. And they would look at me and say, oh, that's nice. And I'd say, I know where I'm going because I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I says, do you know where you're going? And they just look at me and go, huh? So I've been working on them. I pray for my neighbor because they need to sell their house. And I prayed that a Christian family would buy the house. And guess what? A Christian family put an offer in for their house.
Praise
Thank
God.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
Who's next?
We got
Anti.
Got a couple more. A couple Anti. More time for a couple more here.
I don't know how many years ago, several years ago, I was in my office at Saddleback Church, and nobody else was around. And I was in a building far, far from anything, and it was quiet in my office, and the lights were turned. I thought, okay, I'll get some work done. And there was a knock at the door, and this lady from next door at the chiropractor's office said, this lady is looking for Saddleback Church. This lady stands there with her little three-year-old son, and she said, I just have some questions. I'm sitting in my office. It's dark. I mean, she just happened upon me. And she walked in and sat down, and she said, can you tell me about Jesus? Wow. And I'm going, I'm sitting in my office at a church. I had to be really ready for this. But I had to really start thinking, you know? And so I guess my point about this is it all worked out well. But I keep now something in my purse, Pastor Sam's little thing. I had something from Horace Willard that helped me get this thinking in my mind started. One of my best things I've done is to be ready, because you're never really ready. You know, you never know when that person is going to happen upon you. To have, can we call it a cheat sheet?
Yeah.
Okay. To be ready for that, because not only did I lead that lady to Christ that day, but her little boy said, can you tell me about Jesus too? And he says, come to me as a child. So that was one of the brightest days
Amen.
Of my life.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Jalen has one. And then is there anybody else? And then a couple more.
Okay. So I'm talking about when Paul and Silas got put in jail and the earthquake. shook. Paul has the immense skill of being present for the Lord. He is constantly aware, being present in the moment where he is to be used. The Lord uses him every time, right? Earthquake shook, he's in there. Don't kill yourself, we're here. Ends up saving the Philippian jailer, right? Baptizes him, saves his family. So basically what I'm saying, the Lord is using us wherever we are.
Yes.
Make sure we're aware, because our job is for people. Our job is to love on people, make sure we're alert. Be like Paul.
Yes. We got one more minute because we have to end for the next church service, so.
Oh, like I can talk short, right? Everybody, get settled in your seat. I absolutely love the Holy Spirit. I've had so many experiences over the years. This study has just opened my eyes up even more. And it's his power. It's like you have Jesus, you have God the Father, but what about his power? That's the Holy Spirit. We gotta have it all.
Amen.
And we walk with him. He's inside of us. We just have to access him. So, you know, and I love Paul, and I love that my name is Paula.
Amen. Connie, did you have one? And then we have to end, but Connie, yeah, go ahead and share.
I think we all probably know the scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes. I have learned that we have to choose joy and then let others see that joy and know where it comes from.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray.
So
thank
next
you.
Sunday.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, next Sunday, that's what I'm preaching on.
Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for how you've worked. But it's no surprise because it's your word. It's the living word of God. And we have your Holy Spirit, Lord. But as I always say, we have your spirit, but do you have us? And so I pray that we would relinquish control over the kingdom of God, which is the King, Jesus Christ, and let you reign in our hearts. And use us, Lord, like you've used many people before us, to make a huge difference in this world, because people are in Rome and they need to go home. In Jesus' name, amen.